Hello and welcome to Elixir Talks, the podcast that explores the issues business leaders care about. I'm Tom Archer, a principal here at Elixir, and I'll be your host today as we talk cyber hygiene, what it is and why so many organisations struggle with doing the basics of cybersecurity well. Joining me in the studio is Jim Doggett of Panacea, the cybersecurity analytics firm that have developed a unique platform to measure and improve cyber hygiene. Jim previously served as Chief Technology Risk Officer for AIG and held senior security roles at JP Morgan and Ernst & Young, to name a few. Welcome, Jim. It's great to have you with us today.
Oh, thank you so much, Tom. It's really a pleasure today to be here at the Elixir Studio and have a chance today to talk a little bit more about security and in the environment that we're having to deal with today. So it should be a great talk.
Indeed, indeed. So let's start with the basics. What is cyber hygiene? So, I mean, personally, I like to look at this from both individual and enterprise perspectives. Okay. And maybe if I take the individual side, okay, we can have a discussion about the enterprise one together. So okay, I see good cyber hygiene from an individual is about ensuring security software is obviously installed and up to date, passwords are strong, the basics around sort of regular security scans are being run on digital devices, and really sort of general common sense when it comes to looking out for things such as phishing emails and various websites. Many individuals, I think, actually, interestingly, already keeping their data fairly secure through biometric systems, whether this is fingerprint or even, as we're seeing now with Apple, Face ID technology coming out on a phone. And interestingly, this often, I believe, surpasses the average enterprise controls, which tend to follow the more traditional password or two-level of security approach. So, yeah, individual cyber hygiene, it is worth saying, is probably vital, given that it's still the case that employees are responsible for nearly a third, I read recently, of all cyber incidents. So it's sort of getting the basics right there is still critical. So that's kind of the individual perspective. Have you got any thoughts there on the more of the enterprise side of things?
Yeah, cyber hygiene to me on the enterprise level is quite simply, it's doing the basics of security well, which is very common to what you were talking about too. It wasn't any super fancy new high-tech kind of tool to make us more secure. It really is getting back to the basics and just making sure we do the things that we should do well. And I think today, many of us are suffering a little bit from, we get so caught up in the latest breach that happens or the latest thing that we read in the newspaper, we tend to focus on the sensational and not get back to the basics, such as making sure people only have access to what they need to have access to, making sure people patch their systems. It's the exact same concept on an individual level, but on a corporate level. And at a corporate level, it's a little harder. It's more of an aircraft carrier type thing where moving it takes a little bit longer because there's a process involved in it. User individual, it's more of just you make a decision to do something and you can actually do it.
Very much so. Yeah. Well, let's explore that a bit further. So I think we've got an idea of sort of what cyber hygiene is at a high level. Let's talk about the areas that organizations we believe should invest in to maintain a good level or even a great level, dare we say it, of cyber hygiene. And I think some of the more recent research that I've seen indicates that there's been over a 20% increase in the cost of cybersecurity. So year on year, we're seeing those costs continuing to go up. No big surprises there. A large amount is actually still being spent on those perimeter controls. So whether that's touching on cyber hygiene is a point to be debated, I'd say.
Yes.
And then the average number of breaches per year again going up. So we saw again the report saying about 130 breaches, up 30% from 2016. So we're seeing that despite the increase in spend, we're not actually addressing some of the root causes there. You're still seeing those increase in breaches. So, with those sort of in the back of our minds, when it comes to cyber hygiene, do you have some thoughts on where we should be investing or where organizations should be investing in?
Yeah, I've got a couple of thoughts. Right off the bat is, if you still look at that increase, that 130 breaches in the last whatever period that's been, if you really look under the covers of those, virtually all of those were still a result of cyber hygiene. They weren't, again, anything super fancy. The majority of those are just people gave too much access to a third-party vendor, or somebody on their laptop turned security off and made themselves very vulnerable, or they did what we try to keep everyone from doing, they clicked on the link.
Yeah.
And those things, so from that perspective, they are related very much. From a cost perspective, I totally agree with you. Cost is going up. We have talked in the past about this, I think, a bit, is that I think security officers are getting more pressure put on them today to be cost efficient. The days are not gone where if anything goes wrong, we just ask for more money and more money and more money. Eventually, the wheelbarrow is going to get full and we can't carry anymore. So I think it's time that we think about how we're doing things in addition to how much of it we're doing. And that's really where I think that we've got to get out of this mode of manually doing so much of the security process today and try to work our way into much more of an automated and use the tools that, quite frankly, a lot of the rest of IT and a lot of other companies of our parts of companies have already implemented over the last decades. I think it's time now in security we step up and do the same thing.
Yeah, I think maybe just to add to that, I'm seeing individuals and organizations realize that there's a training and awareness needed around around security, and that's again part of that hygiene, but especially around sort of some of the sort of safe browsing practices, secure passwords creation, online safety protocols, just making sure all those basics are in place actually can address a huge number of those those breaches that you just see those top line news articles, like you said, but when you get under the skin of it, it is back to the basics. So
there's two benefits to it. If we do better at the basics, there's two things that come out of that in my mind. One is that you're going to have fewer of those big incidents because you're less vulnerable to start with.
Yep.
The other is by automating processes and dealing with hygiene, you're actually going to operate more efficiently as well. So there's actually a double bonus for it from both perspectives. And as a former security officer, anytime I can do something and I can get by in a whole lot easier when I am able to talk about it, saving money too.
Yes. Yeah, exactly. Which actually leads nicely to my next point, which is that around the challenges that you've seen organizations face when it comes to trying to become great at the basics of cyber hygiene. So, I mean, one challenge would be securing more budget in, as a case of this budget going up. But to your point of the wheelbarrow being full, then, what other things have we seen around just getting the hygiene factors right year on year?
Well, if you think about it, hygiene has been on the same issues that we're dealing with today we were really dealing with decades ago.
Yes.
So it's hard, and I'll acknowledge that right off the bat. But at some point, we have to step back from that and say, instead of reacting and plugging the hole and fixing it one time, we need to step back and fix the process that goes with it so that it stays fixed, and then we can move on and focus on different things. And to me, that is the entire key. You don't need to do all this all at once, but you need to start taking the data-intensive processes that you're dealing with day-to-day and find a way to automate the process from the beginning all the way to the end. And then you can just monitor whether it's doing well or not, as opposed to having to put bodies on it and manually monitoring it all the time. So I think there's a big upside that we can get here.
Great point, Jim. And we've talked about the processes and challenges relating to cyber hygiene, but what data do businesses need to measure then to understand how cyber secure they really are? So really to your point.
When you start to think about what cyber hygiene is, the way I would approach this is, first, you need to get a better picture of the entire environment of security for your enterprise. So typically, you start there with some form of framework. And most of the past I've used has been the NIST framework, but there's CSC, there's many you can... I really don't care which one. I'm not saying they're all the same, but they're all good enough. The concept of what you're trying to do is to have a baseline that you know covers the entire realm of security and understand the controls in each of those, and then you can sort of match up all the testing you're doing to see if you're actually testing the controls you should be. Because it's the fact that you're getting good results from your testing doesn't necessarily tell you everything. If you're not testing key controls that are out there, you have no clue whether they're good or bad, and the assumption I always make is if you're not testing them, they're probably not good.
Yeah.
So from that perspective, I think you start with that, and then it's really going to be a risk-based approach. You need to figure out which of those key controls do you get the biggest IT risk reduction or security risk reduction by focusing on them first, and then you just keep taking one at a time and knock them off until you get the entire realm of these at some point largely automated.
Yes, yeah. No, it's a really good point. And I think even just relating to what data is out there and what data companies are looking at, latest information I've been seeing is that over a quarter of businesses don't even know how many cyber attacks they've had, and a third don't know even how they happened. So you get these sort of, yes, we know we're at risk and we need to protect our sort of crown jewels, but how many instances are we seeing?
I don't know if it's still current data, but historically it's been the average time to detect when you've been breached is in excess of 90 days. And 90 days is a lifetime when it talks about a cyber criminal.
Yes.
And also, it's sort of changing now, too. A lot of cyber criminals are coming in now, and they're not trying to stay in forever. What they're coming in and basically locking you out of your own systems, and that's what we call ransomware. Yeah. Brings a whole different scope to stealing data. There, you're not stealing. They're making it so you can't operate your own business, which to me tells me we've got to get on the front end of that and prevent more of those. It's too late once we discovered it.
Yeah, yeah. No, definitely. I mean, you touched on risk and minimizing the risk. And clearly, this is an area that the insurance industry is starting to, well, have been for some years now, but it's starting to pick up in terms of volume, certainly. Given your background in the insurance industry, are you starting to see insurers include any cyber hygiene metrics or analysis when valuing the risk?
Certainly, from my insurance background, where we actually wrote cyber policies, I think it was very interesting because how do you underwrite those? You've got a third party and you do not really off the top of your head, you just don't know how secure they are. And you could have them fill out questionnaires and do all that kind of thing, but it's very difficult to really understand, are you more or less secure than the other person you're insuring? And at some point you need to have it's a risk factor. Yeah. And as insurance, we're very good at doing those calculations if we have the data, but how do you get to the data? You can't take the time that it would take to go in and do a complete audit, if you will, of a cyber posture of someone. So you literally got to look for, in my mind, key indicators that might indicate that you're mature or less mature in your cyber processes. And that's really the way it will go. And I think over the coming years, today, roughly 20-25% of most companies at most have cyber insurance. I think in the future, we will wake up in 10 years and it will be just like individuals in their homes. You would not consider ever having a home without insurance or a car without insurance.
Yes.
Cyber insurance is part of the due diligence or the diligence you owe to your company to make sure you do have it. So as you can tell, I'm a huge believer that you need to have it because we can't prevent everything from happening.
Yeah, I was amazed by that statistic. I think I saw the same around a quarter to even a half of businesses don't have in the UK, certainly, cybersecurity today. So it's one of those stats that I think just in within a few years is going to be drastically changing.
Okay. Absolutely.
And I think finally, maybe just to conclude, what is the key thing you think that business leaders, given what we've just said about cybersecurity and cyber hygiene, should be doing about cyber hygiene today?
A couple things. Obviously, I'm going to slant this a bit towards where focus area probably a bit today, but I really would challenge any of the CISOs that are out there today to take a hard look at how they do security today and look at the end-to-end process. It's not enough just to assess and run a tool that gives you data. How do you take that data all the way through to where you understand it, can make decisions, and actually remediate the risk or do treatment on the risks that really need to be done? And again, start small. Figure out what areas you can and see if you can re-engineer that. It's not easy, though. It's not just security that has to change here. A whole lot of this is the behavior of every employee or every person who has access, and it's also very dependent on the IT department. And a lot of what we're asking to do is for IT to change the processes they have.
Yes.
So you can't do this all at once, but small steps, and make sure that anytime you take a step, you fix it permanently instead of just temporarily fixing it.
Yeah, very interesting. Well, thank you so much for joining me today, Jim. It's been great to have you with us, and thanks very much for listening. This has been Elixir Talks, the podcast that explores the issues business leaders care about. We'll be back again soon. Until then, it's goodbye from us.